In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. His visions and his prophecies of the Messiah knit so deeply within all four Gospels. They compelled our church fathers to name the prophet Isaiah the fifth evangelist and to name his writings the fifth gospel. So throughout the 4 weeks of Advent, Isaiah's images and his figures, they've poured over us. The lion and the lamb, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, Emmanuel, the virgin, a royal son. When these images, when they shape your imagination and they guide you for 4 weeks to this holy night on Christmas Eve, you see why our ancestors read Isaiah as a fifth gospel. These figures of the Christmas story, they begin with Isaiah's prophecies. But to see those prophecies in greater fullness, you must know what shaped Isaiah the man. We must remember for Isaiah the defining moment that shaped his own vision of God. Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then seraphim surrounded the Lord. They cried out, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Lost and undone in the holy house, filled with smoke, the train of the Lord's temple, covering the whole temple. The mercy of God then comes to Isaiah through the angels, through the seraphim. Burning coals from the incense, they touch Isaiah's mouth, and the angel says, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And that was the moment when the Lord called Isaiah to be his prophet. This encounter forever changed the man. Indeed, it was this vision of God that fused the man and the message he gave into one. As Patrick Henry Reardon noted, Isaiah's awesome encounter with God Almighty in the temple, it so changed him that when he speaks of God thereafter, Isaiah most often calls him the Holy One of Israel. His favorite name, the Holy One of Israel. After that encounter, then we see what we've heard through Advent. Isaiah sees that the Holy One of Israel will send forth a branch from the cut down stump of Jesse. The Holy One of Israel will make the lion and the lamb to lie down together. He will command a little child to be a leader. The Holy One of Israel will give a sign of his redemption, and that sign will be the virgin who shall conceive and bear a son whose name will be called Emmanuel. It is this Lord who has come down to be Emmanuel, the Holy One of Israel. And why? Why did he become human? So that we might be holy. Emmanuel, God with us, came to show us how to refuse evil and to choose the good. God became human for the same reason that the Lord created human beings, male and female, from the beginning. He made us to be beautiful and holy as he is holy. To be holy through and through. Not only an outward holiness of actions and deeds and goodness in his good world, but an inner holiness with a heart that is pure and beautiful, a heart where the affections desire God himself more than anything else that was created in heaven or on earth. We've always needed a prophet like Isaiah to address us with the wonder of God's awesome mystery. Isaiah is no hired messenger just fulfilling a task. No, he comes with a message, having come with an encounter with the Almighty. His eyes have seen the Lord in his majesty. We need a messenger who has seen the glory and the beauty of God. Because we are like Isaiah too. Not altogether different, living in times of ours as were his. We live in a world that's been desecrated. And we ourselves, we live with regret from our sins and sadness from our sufferings. As Olivier Clément said, human beings were created wholly good, yet we've used our freedom to dig holes of nothingness. And we've grown accustomed to living in an unholy world. We've been hardened by disappointments. Scales form over the eyes so that we see the world, we see life so often through gloom and our own anguish. You may recall from middle or high school years, a teacher may have done this for you, observing how the eye reacts with light and darkness. So when you've been in darkness and then the lights go on, you may remember this, your pupils, they get smaller to adjust to the light. Well, the inverse reality remains too. When you move from light into darkness, your pupils dilate. They grow larger. It's a biological response in darkness to allow more light in when you go into darkness. So we have this deep impulse, and it's an involuntary impulse, no less. We are just built to search for light in darkness. That involuntary impulse with our eyes to search for light in darkness, it's a sign that gloom and anguish, they are not native to us. They are not native to us. We were not made to live eternally that way. We, who were made in the image, beauty, and joy of the Holy One, we were made to dwell in his light. And so that is why Isaiah announces that when Emmanuel comes, there will be no gloom for her who has dwelt in anguish. The people who walked in darkness, they've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Isaiah was the appointed messenger to declare to those who are spiraling in sadness, to say to them, now you have seen a great light. And when you consider this messenger, when you consider Isaiah's encounter with the Holy One, in God's light and in glory, can we now understand this? That the child who was born, that the son who was given, is the very same God whom Isaiah encountered in the temple. Always remember with Isaiah's prophecies, this is the prophet who has come from the throne room of God. And now Isaiah announces that the government will be upon the shoulder of this child, this royal son. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw that the Lord's robe, it filled the entire temple, and he said, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And yet, when that same Lord whom Isaiah encountered, when that Lord descends from his heavenly temple, when he descends from the temple not made with hands to tabernacle here, we will see his glory. It's a glory that you don't recognize in grandeur or strength. It's a glory that comes in smallness. and in humility. The Lord who clothed his power with a mighty robe before Isaiah is now a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A heavenly host of angels, they blaze in the darkness before shepherds. They sing glory to God because Christ the Lord is born to make human nature holy again. And then think of this. The Holy One of Israel lies in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, it's that little Judean town that means the house of bread. The Holy One of Israel lies in a feeding trough, a manger, because we only become holy like God again by feeding on the very life of God the Son, who is Christ the Lord. He leaves his heavenly temple to sacrifice his body and blood so that our bodies and souls might become his temple, that we might be his holy place where God dwells, not just nearby, but within. This is the gospel of Christmas. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, so that everyone might say, just as Isaiah did in the throne room, my eyes too have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And seeing him in his humility, that we would fall down even lower than he and worship him, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, unto ages of ages. Amen.